The Australian composer Peter Sculthorpe is perhaps this country's best known, and many of his later compositions reference traditional Aboriginal music. In one orchestral work, Sculthorpe includes variations on a melody recorded in Arnhem Land by the anthropologist A.P. Elkin in the 1950s. He also used language terms pretty freely in the titles of some of his compositions. But when does homage turn to appropriation, from simply referencing Aboriginal music to posturing? Dr. Chris Sainsbury is a Darug man. He lectures in music at the Australian National University in Canberra and was a teacher at the Eora Centre in Redfern. He's just published a long-form essay in the Platform Papers quarterly series, which presents urgent critical debates in the performing arts. Chris is now mentoring and supporting other composers, established musicians like Nardi Simpson, Troy Russell and Ryan Clapham, to create new work. It's all part of an initiative called Ngara Buria, First Peoples Composers Program, and it's supported by the performing arts company Mugulan.
Chris Sainsbury, I'm a musician, a composer, and I head up the Ngara Buria First Peoples Composers Program. So this paper, although it's called Ngara Buria, A Search for an Australian Sound in Music Composition, it's basically raising a flag to say Indigenous composers are here. And through the program, we've had currently another five, so we've had 10 in the program so far. Many musicians we'll talk about in a while who people do know. But outside of that program, there's Deborah Cheatham, William Barton, myself, and a host of others around the country. So people are working in new music composition, which is more defined by instrumentals, orchestral, smaller chamber music groups, string quartets, or James Henry, for instance, writing some string quartet music down in Melbourne, and choir music. So people are doing this stuff that's not singer-songwriter stuff. It's more composed music. So that's one reasons for the program, and I outline that in the paper, that Indigenous composers are there, yet we've been a little bit invisible. Part of the reason of that is this one of the second rationale for the paper, which is really just a big essay, is that some non-Indigenous composers have been referencing Indigenous music or songs, and certainly different themes and Indigenous narratives and aspects of culture, borrowing language into their titles and this kind of thing. And they've been doing this over many, many decades, like seven decades. So there's quite a few there now who've been practicing this kind of thing. And mostly without appropriate collaborations and, you know, going through relevant protocols, not working with the people concerned on a long-term basis. So we're saying we're there, we understand this has been going on, our presence should now be a correction for this practice. Yeah, so that's part of what the whole paper's about.
In fact, you talk about, in terms of appropriation, you refer to Indigenous referencing, and then there's Indigenous posturing.
Mm.
So there's almost degrees of appropriation.
Yeah. A few decades ago, some Australian composers were building quite a body of work around referencing Indigenous music. And so if it's a one-off, I call it Indigenous referencing for an artwork, effectively a music composition. And let's not forget, people are getting paid for those. They're being commissioned and then perhaps even receiving royalties, you know. So there's issues there that need to be talked about. And it's not just composers, it's programmers, you know. So then it gets programmed for broadcast or programmed in concerts, and then it's ensembles. So the ensembles are playing this stuff. The program notes, I was at a concert just the other week, and a piece by Peter Sculthorpe talked about how he was referencing an Indigenous melody in this particular composition. Didn't say where from, didn't say whether any monies were ever returning to the original owners of that song. If it if all that was in place, state it in the program. Let's have clarity. So that's one thing I ask. So it's we're not so much slapping non-Indigenous composers down from this practice. We're just saying long-term collaboration, respectful engagement, you know, if you're going to go there. And we also, I also outline in the paper that in part we understand this, the gaze towards Indigenous culture, because it helps all Australians understand, I suppose, more who we are. And so in part there's an esteem there that's inherent in them looking into our music and our culture. So I can't deny that, but it's just got to be, we've got to own that space, you know, rather than non-Indigenous composers.
And just on Peter Sculthorpe, who you mentioned, a lot of his work was certainly referencing, he used language terms, but he did so without, I mean, he kind of attributed the language, he explained why he used a language term or what the language term was, but often didn't say whether he had permission for, I think he used, there's a title of one of his works, which is a Warlpiri word. But no evidence, according to the liner notes, of actual collaboration or permission being granted for the use of that language name.
Exactly. And this is something we point out. So if there is an engagement there, point it out so that we're all aware of it, you know.
You actually met Peter Sculthorpe.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a fair-skinned Koori, and I asked him, this was a good 20 years ago, I said to him, do you know any Indigenous composers? He said, no. I said, well, I am. And he was pretty rude about it, actually. He just said, really? Well, you don't look it. And I just sort of thought, end of conversation. You know, I'm walking away from here. I think that's rare, and that kind of attitude. But I don't think he sustained in that attitude at all times, because he had a genuine collaboration with William Barton, very fruitful for each. So I can't deny that in actual fact he had, you know, some great collaborations unfolding as well. But that body of work that he built up, I call it Indigenous posturing, because he became known for that, and he's received royalties out of that and what have you. So I just sort of raise that as an example. And I don't really want to point out any composer, but in part he owes me, I suppose, for shutting me down that day, you know. So I use him as an example, and because he's got a very public profile, and everything he says about his pieces is out there anyway, so I'm only drawing on public information. So I think he's set himself up in that position, and just needs that longer-term engagement and that respectful collaboration, as he showed in later years with William Barton. It also needed that in the earlier works. And we need clauses in program notes to say, and that's the responsibility of, you know, record companies, the ABC, the different music organisations, the symphony orchestras, the Music of Eva. They need to get their program notes right, you know, and say, at the time, this wasn't, referenced back to the original song owners, but these are them, highlight that stuff.
I was surprised to learn this, and I'll move off Sculthorpe, but I just want to... I was surprised to learn that some of his early compositions were actually based on recordings by anthropologists like Elkin, and that he'd, Elkin had recorded songs, sacred songs in his journeys into the desert and around the country, actually. So Sculthorpe actually based some music on those recordings. That's something more than appropriation. That's kind of high end cultural theft, I would say.
Yeah, and it could be. You know, I don't go to that extent in the paper and say anything like that.
I just did.
But I'm among the composing fraternity. You know, I got to live with these guys. So I'm just saying, you know, we've got to get this into balance. And now's a good time. It's not the mid-20th century anymore. It's not 1950 when I think it was Alfred Hill, one of our composers. He didn't utilize any indigenous music himself in his own works, but he heard some recordings or heard about recordings, and he said, wow, this is such a resource for all the future Australian composers, as if it was their folk music. And I highlight it's not Australians' folk music, it's indigenous music, and there's a difference there. You know, folk music, yes, the body of people own. Indigenous music, the cultural authority pertains to the indigenous people, you know. So and I draw that differentiation there.
Hi, I'm Troy Russell. I live in Western Sydney at the moment. My father comes from Taree region. He's a Biripi man. And my mum, she came from New England area, around Tinga. She was born there. But her family comes from Moree and into Queensland and all that sort of thing. I've been a participant with the Ngarrindjeri Composers Initiative, and it's been very interesting. A musician and now a composer as well.
So, Troy, where do you come in? You've been on this First Peoples Composers Program, Ngarrindjeri, which means to listen and to sing in Darug. When did you first meet Chris?
Oh,
long time ago.
30 years.
Okay. In this recent kind of iteration.
Yeah. So, Chris approached me at, of all places, Sydney Conservatorium of Music, about this, and introduced me to John Davis, who's with the Australian Music Centre, and spoke about it to me and said, this is a really good opportunity. And thought that I should be a part of it. Yeah.
And has that been a fruitful collaboration? I mean,
yeah, I think so. It's been really interesting over the last couple of years. It's a new thing for me too. I mean, look, I've written enough pieces and had one played by the students at the conservatorium, which was jazz, a jazz piece. And Chris Sainsbury and Kevin Hunt both worked on that. And it turned out really well.
Mm.
Yeah. From that, I suppose the next thing would be up to where we are now, this Ngarrindjeri. And, yeah, I'm really happy to be a part of it. Everybody that's involved with this, I know in some way personally. So, I mean, look, I had heard of Dobby beforehand, but seeing how he works this realm, Ryan Clapham, how he works in this world, is interesting.
We might just name the people who are.
Yep.
We've got Ryan Clapham, extraordinarily talented musician. I can vouch for that of having worked with him.
And
Brenda Gifford,
ex mixed relation, and
another very talented.
Yeah, Ewan composer, Troy Russell, of course.
Troy Russell,
Tim Gray, Green Hand Band, very fine musician, and Elizabeth Shepherd. She's the older one among us. She's in her 70s. Sorry, Elizabeth, I just announced that on radio. So it's really nice. So we've got a spectrum there of ages. And in the new group coming through at the moment, Eric Avery, Marcus Corowa, Sonia Hollowell, Darawal woman, Nadi Simpson from Stiff Jeans, of course, as listeners may know, and James Henry. So they're the next batch. And what you'll notice out of all these 10 composers is that they're all very experienced musicians. And that's one of the premises of the program, that this is for experienced musicians who want to develop further in other ways and start writing, you know, be it string quartets or choral music or mixed ensemble pieces, things. Troy's been writing for cellos and bass clarinets and marimbas and different things, you know.
And very interesting.
And the group is Ensemble Offspring, a partner group, as well as the Royal Australian Navy Band. And they've got all kinds of different ensembles in their lineup, you know, so exciting stuff.
At the end of the platform paper, you very helpfully make some suggestions or recommendations about how this engagement between Indigenous and non-Indigenous composers might play out in the future to be more meaningful and to be an actual collaboration rather than referencing or posturing Aboriginal music. What are some of those key recommendations you think that people need to have in mind when they start this kind of engagement or this collaboration?
Mm. I think the first one I highlight is include Indigenous composers and Indigenous musicians. You know, if somebody thinks as a composer or as a music organisation programming a piece by a composer who's referencing Indigenous music or borrowing an Indigenous word, then include Indigenous people. So, you know, I can think of a few examples where composers have taken a word and given it the title of the piece or the title of the different sections of the piece or this kind of thing. But it's a word that's attractive to them, not necessarily from their own local area even. And I don't think non-Indigenous composers, if they're just taking a word for a title of their piece because it sounds lyrical or whatever, then hang on a minute, there's a lot of other stuff, politics and real people issues going on around language reclamation, you know. So if you're going to be involved in language reclamation, you do it with Indigenous people, I think, you know. So that's one of the recommendations we make. Mm. Refer to the Australia Council protocols and working with Indigenous musicians and music. Speak to ensembles such as Ensemble Offspring, who are mostly non-Indigenous musicians, but they've worked long-term now with Indigenous people very closely, so they get it, you know. So we say, go and speak with them. So you don't always have to speak with an Indigenous person, but you speak with people who actually are in the arena with Indigenous people. But certainly speak to people who are song holders or knowledge holders or who speak the language. So it's just a matter of... you know, and I also talk about money.
Well, so, it's pretty obvious that you should be paid for the work that you do.
Well, so one of the recommendations in that...
But so often happens...
In the end of the essay is you know, if money's going to be spent on a non-Indigenous composer referencing Aboriginal music, then hang on a minute, just go to the source, because there's now Indigenous composers emerging, coming through. Go straight to the source.
Musician and composer Dr. Chris Sainsbury lectures in music at the ANU in Canberra. He leads the Ngarraburya First Peoples Composers Program. With the support of the Cultural Mothership, as he calls it, and that's Mughalan, the Indigenous Performing Arts Company based in Sydney. We also heard from one of the composers, Troy Russell, as well as some of their work. This is Away, you're on RN.